The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. Now, while we were off listening to the news, we've had somebody call in. Hopefully they're still there. Hello, caller.
Good afternoon, Paul. It's Chris Pollard speaking. How are you?
Hello, Chris. How are you, my friend?
Very well indeed, thank you. And a very good afternoon to Bird and your guests.
Thank you. So, thank you for calling in, Chris. What is it you wanted to talk to us about?
Well, I'm calling in on behalf of the Romney Resource Centre, for which I have been a trustee now for nearly 2 years. And 8 months ago, I was given the responsibility of rebranding the charity. Now, for those of your listeners who don't know the Romney Resource Centre, we provide education and training across all ages. So from the age of 15 upwards to, well, to anyone. You know, we've got some sexagenarians there as well, people who are older than you and I, Paul.
Really? Is that possible?
Oh, yes. Well, it is, apparently. It is.
They're still living?
They are. Very much so. So in the last 9 months, I designed a new logo with the help of a company called Digital Sprout.
Right.
And we've also designed a new website, which has brand new content on there.
Mm.
Now, I wanted to draw people's attention, particularly to, for example, our courses, which, as I say, go from the age of 15 up to, well, to anybody who's living, really.
Right.
We have a study program, which I'm particularly interested in because it's for 15 to 19-year-olds who come from vulnerable backgrounds, and we do our best to give them a basic education in English and maths so they get an exam result, and then we will take them to job interviews, and we will do our best to find them an apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm interested in that is because I know what it is like to have learning difficulties, because I'm dyslexic, although I was lucky enough not to come from a vulnerable background. And what these young adults want, they want security, they want a discipline, and they want love as well as education. So that's one of the programs we do. We do enhancing apprenticeships. We work with the National Career Service. We improve your employment opportunities. So in other words, someone can have been in work, they can have lost their job, but we welcome them at the Romney Resource Centre to help them maybe even retrain new skills, and then again help them find another job.
Right.
We have grow your digital knowledge and skills. And again, this is for people. You know, there's still a lot of young adults down there who struggle to use a phone. But then we have people at the other end of the scale who are in their 60s, 70s, and even 80s. We will show them how to turn on a laptop.
Fantastic.
How to get onto Google, how to ensure you have broadband at the house. There are others as well. Now, in addition to that, we have the Romney Marsh Business Centre, where we have a hot desk available. We have our conference centre, where we have the opportunity of providing three layouts. And Zoe Cairns from Third Sea Social uses our conference centre on a regular basis. We have a testimonials page. And finally, we have our new supporters page.
Okay.
Now, as you well know, Paul, charity is no longer sustainable without commercial funds.
Mm.
So over the next 3 years, we are focused on ensuring that 35% of the incoming funds are on a commercial basis. So we started it off with the supporters page. Now, I'm asking people to support us because of what we're doing.
Mm.
And for £10 a month, we offer your own page on the website. We also offer the opportunity, your logo will go on our supporters page, and that will be a link through to your page.
Fantastic.
And we're asking people, please, to support us because of what we're doing in the community.
Okay, you've got a page that goes up, and you pay a fixed amount every month, and you can advertise on that page, you can
put links on the page. Yes, whatever you like.
What a fantastic idea. I'm really liking that.
We really would appreciate it. And what I want to do is, as well, this is not just about people in the Romney Marsh area. This is about businesses in Kent. And eventually what I'd like to do, because of our expertise in education and training, I would like to think over the next year we start to offer online courses to people who are not able to get to the centre.
Fantastic. I think what we're going to have to do, Chris, is get you in to talk about this, because there's a lot of stuff
Thank
to talk
you.
About, and we actually haven't got a lot of time here in this.
No, I appreciate that.
So I'll tell you what, do you want to give the link, or shall I give the link for people that want to look at your supporters page more? Because I think that's one of the crucial things in terms of raising finance for you.
Thank you. It will be a great start. It's simply romney-resource.co.uk/supporters.
Fantastic. Well, JohnsonKent.com are certainly going to be supporters of.
Thank you very much.
So you
thank
you. You got your first £10, basically.
Thank you very much.
Chris, thank you so much for calling. What I think we'll do is we'll get you in the next few weeks, and we can go over this in a lot more depth and talk about all the things that you're going to do.
We appreciate that. Thank you very much indeed for your time, Paul.
Fantastic. No, thank you so much for calling, Chris. And
we
wish you much success with the Romney Resource Centre.
Thank you kindly.
Cheers
Have
now.
Have a good show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Chris Pollard there at the Romney Resource Centre. Cool. Interesting stuff.
Yep.
I've actually been down there a few times. I do talks to the to the young people down there. It's an interesting place. Really good. I've had a tweet from the Chic Stylist.
Oh, and she says, Julie?
Yeah, Julie Daniels. Hi, Paul. Please can I have a shout-out? Please say to be in with a chance of winning free tickets for one person plus two friends. I haven't got two friends. One person plus two friends for Awesome Confidence. Shut up. It's a masterclass. Okay, I get it. They must like and tag two friends into my competition post on Facebook or Instagram. And they must do that by the 10th of November in order to win a free ticket plus two friends at the Awesome Confidence Masterclass. And the best thing to do is to follow the Chic Stylist, and her Twitter handle is the_Chic, C-H-I-C, Stylist, all one word. And presumably her Facebook page is going to be a similar thing to that. And you need to tag people into her Facebook page in order to win the competition.
Nice.
So have a go at it.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah, nice one.
Awesome Confidence.
Yeah, what you got?
I've got a hamster.
You've got a hamster?
Yep. Butterflies Events has been on. They said, hi, Bird and a Bike. I almost forgot your Business Bunker gift. She's got this now. Hamster going like this.
How is she?
I've got hamster cheeks, so I loved it.
Thank
you very
it.
Much.
Cool.
Yeah, excellent. I'm not getting half of these tweets you've got. How's that?
I don't know. I'm going to read you an email instead then.
Oh, thank you.
This is from the Dragons Co-working. And they've got a Dragons 10 coming out. Do you get that? Dragons 10. You like
Very
it?
Very good.
Yeah. It's a lead generation event, and it's taking place on the 1st of November at 6:30 p.m. They have 10 great speakers all giving us 10 minutes of advice on not just how to generate leads, but how to effectively turn them into business. It only costs £10 to go.
It's only just... I've only just got the 10.
Okay.
Oh, Dragons 10.
Yeah. You can find out about it by going to their website.
Who is it? Who have they got the 10 on? Have we got any idea?
I don't know, so you'll have to go to their website.
Droppy.
Dragoncoworking.co.uk. And alternatively, you can go to their
website.
No, their failure night. Only it's not called that.
Oh, you can't say it.
I can't say it on air.
It's F.
Yeah, it's F for something that...
it's not good.
That's not good, but an Ofcom would take me straight off
here.
But
we think it's very funny.
But yeah, anyway, it's an F up night. And it's in Medway, and it's volume two. It's the second one.
When's that?
It's on the 16th of November at 7 p.m. And the first one was hilarious.
I
went to it. It's hilarious. Yeah, it was really great.
What happens there?
You have a series of speakers, pre-formatted speakers, that come and tell you about some of their biggest mistakes. And they can be mistakes in life, mistakes in business. It's absolutely hilarious. And then they had a bit of an open mic where you could all get up and share in the evil.
That's genius.
It was good fun. It was absolutely good fun. And there was free-flowing food and drink there as well. It was brilliant. It was a brilliant evening.
Nice space.
So this is the second one.
Yeah.
It's going to be even bigger and better. We have four great speakers all willing to share their business failure experience. And the four speakers at this are Tony Burke from Chips and Dinks, Tom Lawrence from Art Sparks, Andrea Barker from Andrea Barker Confidence Coach, and Sean Murphy. Sean, how did you pick which one?
Oh, my days. Sian's just very funny, isn't she?
She's hilarious. I am definitely going to this because it's going to be funny.
All right.
And there's going to be a live band. There's gourmet hot dog snacks and drinks all included in another great night. And again, dragoncoworking.co.uk for all the details.
Brilliant. So I love this this tweet. And I've just done some research into the back of it. So this is, hey Paul, would it be possible please to give a shout out to 9-year-old Tegan Appleby, who is in hospital battling seizures. Her family need to raise another £4,000 to get her to Holland for treatment. And this is at for Tegan. And this is all talking about UK news on cannabis oil is not certain. So this has gone into a chain. We've got Neville Gaunt that's really asking about it. And this is, I believe it's her mum, is it Samantha Bowen? And I've just gone and looked on her tweet, so forgive me if it's not, but we're trying to get as much information to it. They've just put the link up, so you go to justgiving.com and you can see it. So it is at Fortegan, and there's a lot about it. So they are at Aisham, and they've been on the BBC South East and then Kent Messenger, but they need people's help to get her to safe treatment. Really big topic at the moment in the medical profession of cannabis oil. Really interesting.
Absolutely. We've had a tweet from Karen Ortiz, and she says, could we have a business monk shout out, please, Paul? They're doing a workshop. Businesses can learn how to improve their website traffic and visibility, plus supporting by the same time by going on the workshop, Street Soccer, which is a CIC, and they're tackling homelessness through football. So it's a workshop that's taking place. Now, she's given me a link. Unfortunately, Twitter have shortened it, so I can't read what it says. But you can book it on Eventbrite. But the easiest thing is to follow Karen on Twitter. And her Twitter handle is Karem. That's K-A-R-E-M Ortiz, O-R-T-I-Z 1986. That's Karem Ortiz 1986.
VidBuild have been on. We loved listening to Kenda from Automation Ninjas and Paul from Vanilla Web and the radio show and the Business Bunker. They said, see you soon at Digital Link Kent. They were great, weren't they? We had them on a couple of weeks ago, didn't we?
Absolutely. VidBuild, yeah. Fantastic. I've had a tweet from Anthony Jones Photography, and that's AJ Photo Info, and he's asking for a shout out for somebody else. He's saying, on World Food Day, Paul, please can we have a Business Bunker shout-out for Mar Cates. Yeah, Mar Cates. My favourite artisan food producer, bringing South African twist to Kent. And Mar Cates is a Twitter handle as well, M-A-K-A-T-E-S. Check it out.
Justin Dean's been on. He's put, shout out our name. So he's from Creative Motion, and they recommend us and win an award-winning sparkling wine from Bidderdon Vine. Right. So I love that. And again, they've got they're a massive Creative Motion. We haven't had Justin in for ages. I wonder how he's getting on with his cycling.
We keep trying to arrange a get-together to talk about it all, and it just never seems to come off at the moment because we're both really busy.
Justin, get yourself in here. We love it. We love it coming in, and you can take loads of videos of us.
Absolutely. I'm going to do a couple more emails, and then we're going to talk to our next guest.
That's the same famous Steve, isn't it?
It's the famous Steve Hemsley that everybody knows.
Everybody is saying
Steve,
about the
it's
media
lovely.
Do you think he's going to pick us up on our media here?
So. No.
I'm worried about it.
We're seamless to say, though, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. It's happening for us, isn't it?
I mean, we started it, didn't we? And Mark went, God, you two can talk.
Yeah, he did actually say that. He did, yeah. Yeah. He doesn't seem to understand that this is fully scripted.
I think that's rude.
Right, okay.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it's scripted. Yeah.
I do apologise.
Never apologise.
Go on.
Building business with purpose. Social Enterprise Kent is hosting a key social enterprise conference on the 23rd of November for social entrepreneurs in Ashford. It's limited to 50 spaces. They're free. If you want to come along, register your interest by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/SEK-conference. SEK-conference, and you can book your free place there. Also, the next 30-30 Business in Schools programme is scheduled to take place on the 21st of November at the Longfield Academy. Help us bridge the gap between school and business. We're looking for business owners and managers to join the Business Bunker radio show, Jobs in Kent and FSB Kent, to inspire the next generation of talent at the Longfield Academy. You can read all the details about it and book your place and see where it's coming up. At kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30.
Digital in Kent conference. We know it's this Thursday, don't we? Why do we know it's this Thursday?
Because I'm chairing it.
Oh, my God, that's so unusual. So this is Thursday, the 18th of October. It is 9 a.m. till 3:30, and it's at the Quarter House in Folkestone. It says, join us at their 10th Digital in Kent conference. So this is to achieve digital marketing success with plenty of networking opportunities, find business partners, generate new ideas. There's keynotes, there's bold talks, there's big ideas. So you need to go on to www.digitalinkent.co.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
We still got tweets coming in. We still got emails to read, but we've actually got some interesting guests to talk
to. Let's go to the famous.
Let's go for the famous Steve Hemsley. Steve, Hendrix training, but you do so many things. I'm gonna do the big intro for Steve.
He's
a journalist, a businessman, an actor, a trainer.
Yeah, that's...
Is that it?
I own a magazine as well. We bought a magazine.
A publisher?
And a media company and a publisher.
Yeah.
In his spare time. And a former Maidstone United season ticket holder.
Well, I still have a season ticket holder, but I'm not in the posh box that Brian was in.
Okay, no, well, I had to give the box up. Sorry about that. Steve, welcome. They're not having a good season so far, aren't they?
No, they're having a bit of a bad time. But you stick with your team. It's like business. Yeah. You stick with it when it's tough.
You've got to stick with it when it's tough.
You do. That's you can't enjoy the good times unless you go through the bad times.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Just before we get into that, how long have you been a supporter of Maidstone United?
Well,
how far
back do you go? 30 odd years. Yes. Really? So I went through the good times when they got up to the Football League, and then when they went bust. I was watching them in the park because they went so far down, they dropped like 9 leagues.
Did you watch them at the old wreck when they were there?
At London Road, yeah, absolutely I did, yeah. Yeah, I was a ball boy for a little bit.
Were you?
Yeah, yeah.
Standing behind me, maybe.
Yeah, probably. What were you?
I played for them.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah,
when I was a kid. Did you? What position did you?
Goalkeeper. Which is why he would have been standing behind me.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Early 80s, I started watching.
Oh, I actually played for them in the 70s.
Oh, no, you are slightly before my time.
Only as a schoolboy. Dickie Guy.
Yes,
Dickie Guy. Yeah. If anybody's a football fan out there, if remembers Dickie Guy, the old Wimbledon goalkeeper, he was at Maidstone.
Penalty saver, Leeds United, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There you go, reminiscing. Yeah.
Mark shaking his head.
Yeah, no. What you lot are talking about?
I'm not even going to start because I'd go on about the Green Army, so I'm just not even going to do it.
The mighty, mighty Plymouth.
I tell you, I can remember when it was the old Wembley and we were all walking up and there's this sea of green. It was really emotional.
Yeah. Well, and nowadays, second kits and all the rest of it. But for a long, long time, Plymouth were the only team in the English football leagues that wore green.
Yeah, green and white.
Yeah, and then
that's why we call ourselves the Green Army.
Yeah, and then Norwich snuck in a bit of green in their shorts, and then my team, Chelsea. I mean, we got a third kit that's jade or something. yeah they got all kinds of kits anyway. We didn't come here to talk about football. We came here to talk about Steve and all the things that he does. So why don't you start us off, Steve, by telling the listener, out of all those things I've listed, kind of pick your way through it and tell us how you got where you got to.
I think it's in most businesses, I think new ideas, don't they, come out of existing businesses. You sort of transferable skills. I mean, I trained as a journalist, still am a working journalist, and from that I started doing media training and I started acting.
Right.
And Hendrix came out of that because one of my acting tutors, Lucy Morgan, she's a professional actress. She was in Brookside. Channel 4. It's a bit unfortunate, really. She got a part in Brookside on Channel 4 6 months before Channel 4 stopped it. They wanted to pay for The Simpsons. So they could only afford The Simpsons if they dumped Brookside. So she lost that great, great part. And we wrote a book together about 10 years ago on how drama can boost children's confidence. And that did really, really well. We nearly got a few TV shows out of it, but it was just at the time of the crash around Super Nanny. And they said, oh, she's good, positive parenting. And out of those techniques, we developed business courses around sort of presentation skills and voice coaching for call centres. So Hendrix has grown out of that. And it's really interesting because the link between the theatre and the business world is closer than people think. I mean, if you think of some of the terms we use, your target audience, what's your role at work, performance reviews, character references, these are all theatre terms, because when we go to work, we do actually have a role on. You know, we put a suit on or whatever it might be.
It's really interesting you say that. My youngest son, Stuart, hello, Stuart, if you're listening, of course he isn't, he was an actor when he was younger, very good actor, in my opinion. He himself didn't particularly want to continue with that, and he certainly didn't want to pursue it as a career. But he didn't go to university. He went to the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School, and he got a degree there. But he studied at the theatre school, asset management and production finance, and became a foreign exchange broker. He now works for a publishing company, as it happens. But so you're absolutely right. And I think a lot of people don't look at that side of drama and acting, and you know, a lot of people don't give it the credit that it should have.
You don't realize, I mean, the soft skills at work, I think, are really undervalued when it comes to training, because we were talking earlier about, you know, when people ring you up from call centers or people are presenting, there's nothing worse than you watch someone presenting at an event and they're boring you to tears. And they might have some really interesting things to say, but if their body language is given away or their voice is dull, and it's little tips actors spend years learning about how you add light and shade to your voice, you know, how you're accentuating certain words, the power, the pause, and your body language. If you think when you walk into a meeting or presentation onto a stage, people have judged you before you've even opened your mouth.
Absolutely.
In the same way, if you go to the theatre and you watch an actor come on stage, before they've opened their mouth and said their first lines, you're thinking, oh, that's interesting. What are they? Are they a goodie? Are they a baddie? What are they doing? And people don't realise that. They come in with their presentation. They think, wow, I'm looking all nervous and I'm going to be here. Their technology is a bit dodgy.
Unaccustomed as I am speaking in public.
That's a very British thing, isn't it? You say, well, look, I'm not very good at this. Just bear with me. Or I know you'd rather be somewhere else. And as an audience watching, you're thinking, well, this is going to be a load of old rubbish. Want to go to the theatre again. The actors go, well, actually, we've only rehearsed this once.
We don't know our lines.
You don't know our lines. Might be a bit rubbish, but thanks for paying £20 for coming along. So it's true, isn't it?
I've even had people turn up and they've gone, oh, I've been so busy, I didn't have time to do a full presentation. I'm looking at them going, you've just framed it for me. You've lost me now. So you're right.
You're right, because you've invested time in that audience. And most presentations at work, you don't want people to fail. So when people get nervous, we're saying a lot of this, you know, is down to, you know, just breathing and relaxing and having confidence in your subject. And the audience is there to learn from you. They don't want you to mess up. So you don't need to apologise, because then you people think, well, why am I here? This is going to be a load of old, not very good.
Cool. So you started off in journalism. You've operated in the field of training, and I really want to kind of explore that. It's some of the conversations we have in both off air and on air were really important conversations about how organisations are behaving, and listening to Kenda and what she was saying earlier about the psychology of marketing and being. There's so much that can start to happen now in the world of work around all of these kind of issues, that I think it's really fascinating that we need to kind of drive that on. So I want to talk a little bit now, if we may, Steve, about the specific training that you're doing and the kind of work that you're doing in that field, because I think that's really, really important, based on what you were just saying, basically. Give us an overview of the kind of things you're doing, who you're doing them for, and how they work.
Yeah, we do the sort of training across private, public, and third sector. The presentation skills is really good for sort of middle managers, junior managers who are just being promoted into a role where they have to present for the first time. And we talked earlier about, I think, was it last week's show? I think you might have mentioned about confidence helping with well-being at work. And this is what we're finding as well, is it's affecting people's stress levels at work if they think they've got to present to their boss or their board or supplier.
The biggest contributing to well-being is confidence.
It's amazing, though, how many people are terrified of presenting.
But it even goes beyond that. It's not that, that makes sense to me that you would be nervous and judged, but it's that confidence of worthiness, imposter syndrome, should I be, you know, all those things that we don't even, should I speak to, who should I speak to, is it safe for me to speak to, all of that goes on even before you hear about it. That is stressors on well-being.
It is. Another course we do is confidence in meetings. Because a lot of managers get really frustrated when their team doesn't challenge them in meetings,
yeah.
or people going to meetings don't have the confidence to speak up.
Mm.
And so little things you'd work through, like, A, your voice and your body language in the room, but what's your objective? Who else is in the room? If you're the expert, you know, who knows more than you in that room?
Yeah.
You know, are people expecting you to speak? When do you speak? When it comes to presenting, and you should be nervous because no one's born to stand up in front of people. But it's about using those tips that Axe has learned for years in about how you just, you know, breathing can really help you to calm down, taking a breath. Because as we get older, we breathe from our lungs. If you ever watch a newborn baby, they breathe from their diaphragm, their stomach. You see their stomach going up and down, up and down. But as we get older, we start breathing from the lungs, and we get shallow breathing and nervous.
Yep, yep.
So if we learn to just drop our breath, and we can present more confidently, and smiling and eye contact and how you slightly move. A lot of this is trusting your knowledge of your subject.
Yeah.
Now, people get obsessed with notes or PowerPoints, whatever it might be. And you say, well, okay, what's going to happen if your PowerPoint doesn't work?
Yeah, exactly.
You'll probably give the best presentation of your life.
Yep.
Because you'll stand up there and people will have sympathy for it. They go, okay, that's fine. And you'll just talk. I always use the example. I say to people, look, if we went over the road to the pub and I said, talk to me about your business,
yeah.
you wouldn't say, well, let's move all the chairs out of the way and put the PowerPoint up.
Yeah.
You would just talk engagingly, passionately about your business. And so don't lose that when you stand up in front of people. And people do.
It's incredible, isn't it? When we're launching new radio shows, and I've been doing training, and so many people, when they come to start a radio show for the very first time, will write a script. Mm. I go, don't do that. And I go, well, I need to know what I'm going to say. And I go, no, but the trouble is, every single person can tell you're reading, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah. And they'll just switch off because they go, he's just reading that, you know, why don't you just post it on the internet and I'll read it myself and I don't need to listen to this. Yeah. Because when you're natural, with all your ums and ahs and you're stumbling and all the rest of it, people know that you're being human and they interact with you. If you try and script absolutely everything, it just doesn't work. It
like
just
this
doesn't
show
come across.
Is beautifully scripted.
Well, it works on this show because we're just so professional at acting that we can make it work or something.
Yeah, but the script is interesting. That point you make. So we do a lot of training with call centre people, and they go, "Well, I've got to read a script." You say, "Well, actors have a script. They don't stand on the stage reading it line by line. They work their way through it. They go, which words would I stress? Where should I put a pause in?'
Yeah.
And because that can change the whole meaning of a sentence. I mean, great. One of our clients, not at the moment, but was a few years ago, was Cancer Research UK.
Yep.
And at the end of every phone call, their supporters ring up, and they would say, thank you for your continued support, Paul. That's really valued. And they were told by their bosses to say that. So when they said it, it sounded unnatural. So the actor said, look, think like an actor. Why are you being asked to say those words? They're not just words on the page. So an actor would go, think if Paul doesn't give his £5 a month anymore, what does that mean? That means we can't help with breast cancer, can't help that kid with leukemia. And just by thinking that, it comes out more real. And then their motto always used to be, together we will beat cancer. And you say to people, look how you can change the whole meaning of that word, that sentence, by which word you stress. For example, together we will beat cancer. Together we will beat cancer. So these are little tips that people can use in presentations to emphasize their key messages, the words they want to sort of hang in the air. Whereas if people are really monotone, talking like that, I've got to, you know, about their business, and people will switch off because it's human nature.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you a funny story about that. A thousand years ago, at least 30 years ago, I was doing some work in the United States, in Pittsburgh. And I went out in the evening to buy some stuff in a supermarket, in a Kmart store. And it was really late at night. It was a 24-hour store. It was really late at night. And I bought a few bits and pieces, and I walked up to the checkout, and the lady on the checkout put all the stuff in a paper bag for me and handed it to me, and I paid. And she said, thank you for shopping at Kmart. Yeah. Be back soon. Missing you already. And I went, do you fancy me? And she went, no. I went, no, you do. And she went, no, I don't. I went, yeah, you do, because you just told me you're missing me. And she went, I didn't mean that. We're told to say that.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It's such a shame, because it's insincere, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's insincere.
It's worse than not saying anything.
Yeah.
It's just treating you as an idiot, really. Yeah.
We work on things like active listening, you know, listening to people in a meeting or in a room, and because that can tell lots of things, like what's the mood of other people.
Yeah.
So you can go in just determined to speak at people and tell them what you're doing, what you're selling, or what your reasons for being are. But if you don't listen, you can't respond. Sometimes it can help you to judge the room, really.
Yeah. Absolutely. So it strikes me that most of the things you're involved in are really all pulled together by communication, effectively. tell us a little bit about your magazine and your journalism.
Yeah, journalism, as I said, I'm still a working journalist, which is really good for the media training because I'm training people to, you know, for press, radio, TV, or whatever it might be. And it could be talking to them tomorrow, so it's real, and social media, of course. I still write for like the FT, the Sunday Times, lots of different magazines. The magazine we actually bought, because it just came available, and like, you know, you guys, entrepreneurs, sort of, oh, that sounds a good opportunity. So it's a care home magazine. It's called Care Home Management. So it's a business to business magazine that goes nationally to care homes, advertising funded. My wife edits it mainly.
Right.
But it's funny, we've only had it since March. And you know, if you're sort of an ideas person, like you guys are, I sort of think I probably am as well, you keep having new ideas. And I think a lot of small business people, sometimes you have to rein yourself back in, don't you? So the magazine, I'm writing for that, and we're developing new ideas like podcasts and video and stuff.
It's interesting, isn't it, in print media, because a lot of people go, print media's dead. And newspapers are struggling from a business point of view. Newspapers are struggling, and then you get some newspapers, you don't have to comment unless, like, the Independent, that are just pure, and the Mail, are just pure clickbait. They'll print anything as long as you click on it. But interestingly, the thing that's still thriving is niche-based magazines.
Yeah,
you know, like Carp World is one of the biggest-selling magazines in Europe, and Air Gunner Today, and I'm sure Care Home Management fits into that kind of category.
Absolutely, it is. It's that niche, niche targeting, niche marketing. Because how do you reach those set set people? That's a really nice venture. But the media training, just it was explaining to companies and individuals how, you know, they can boost their sales and boost their business by getting in the media. And it's not about being advertising, it's about being thought leaders, isn't it? Like you're being invited to chair a panel or whatever, and you say to people, well, you know, sharing your expertise to that target audience, making it relevant to the people that are reading, whether it's a niche magazine or a newspaper, understanding that if you're talking to a national paper, what's their political leaning? And if you're talking to a Guardian journalist compared to a Telegraph journalist, you're going to get different questions. Left-wing, right-wing, is it a national paper? Is it the KM? Who's your audience?
Yeah.
I would say a really interesting thing, which people think, what do you mean? I say, you're never talking to the journalist in an interview. You're not.
Yeah,
you're talking to the people who are going to read what he writes, him on TV, hear
his, audience. Yeah,
absolutely. Like now, I'm talking to you, but I'm not really. I'm talking to
the audience.
I'm talking to all the people that are listening.
I'm not listening either.
No, exactly. So, but you know, you say, well, that's what that's who it is, and you have to think of them. People get very nervous, don't they, talking to journalists because they think they're just going to try and catch them out and misquote them. And it's not what it's about. It's about them wanting to get a story. And the reason they ask you difficult questions is because they're asking the questions that your journalist, your audience
will ask.
Like I was interviewing Mark. I'll be as if it was a potential customer. Yeah. The yes, but you say that, but cloud this, cloud that. So it's giving people the confidence again. Everything I do and our companies do really is about boosting confidence.
Okay, cool.
Well, it's really interesting when you think, really, what are we all doing? It is now such a media-based business of business. That's all business is now. And it's just delivering on a platform that, wait a minute, it's just delivering on a platform that you are good at as well. Like, we love radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
We love it. We like being in the same room doing all this, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you were saying, oh, how do you make it? We just, you can see that we spend a lot of time together doing this. Now, some people, this isn't their medium, is it?
No, it is about finding the right medium. And I love radio too, because although it's only audio, it's the most visual medium you can have, isn't it?
Mark,
when I was listening to Mark, it was really interesting because you were painting some lovely pictures, which I call the ladder of abstraction, where how we visualize things.
Yep.
You talked about the receipt, the van driver with the receipts, and we can all picture that, can't we?
Yes. Excellent.
If I said to people listening now, picture Paris, the Eiffel Tower, it's very busy.
Yeah.
People standing by an ice cream van. We're there. We're taken there, aren't we?
Yes.
It was really interesting. A couple of years ago, I was at a conference, and there was a TV producer from Los Angeles there, and he was giving a talk, and he said, the most powerful television is radio.
Mm. Yeah.
I agree.
And everybody went, what? He went, no, seriously, because if you film a radio studio, people talk to build pictures in your head and don't keep worrying about how they look.
No.
Whereas when you point a TV camera at people, people are trying to get their good side and worried if they've got cabbage in their teeth and all the rest of it, and you don't get such a good experience.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's very telling. I mean, the visual thing, there's a famous story, you might have heard about it, from one of the first presidential elections that was televised. It was Nixon and JFK. And JFK, being quite sophisticated and understanding the media and how body language and whatever, he had, like, makeup and he was all sorted out and he had the lighting arranged for him, whereas Nixon was used to radio.
Yeah.
And he was all feeling quite ill at the time. He was sweating profusely. But it was on radio and TV at the same time. And when they did the research afterwards, they said to the audience, who do you think won that debate? Yeah. Nixon won it on the radio because it was his content and his storytelling. But on TV, it was Kennedy because they looked at Nixon, who looked like shifty, sweating, ill. And so that's what we talk about presentations, how people picture you and judge you. It's not all about what you say, it's how you say it.
So, Steve, how do you as a trainer then teach media training to people who potentially it's not their medium, but they still have to find a voice at that platform?
Yeah, it is. A lot of that comes down to trust in the knowledge of your subject and in preparation. So if you were talking to whoever it might be, the local paper, the Kent Messenger, for example, you'd be thinking, well, what is my message to those people today? And what examples have I got to prove it? Because a lot of people, especially business people, they talk a lot about what they do. We are a team of accountancy, or we are a retailer, we do this. You see it on their website. And as a journalist, you don't buy into that until you believe what they say. So people say, if I had a pound for every time someone said to me, oh, we're innovative, creative, we're client focused, we're this, it's like a massive great yawn. But if you say, we're a very innovative business, are you really? Yeah, we were the first company in our sector to do X. Then suddenly it's like, wow, tell me more about that.
So it's a buy-in for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's about credibility and believability and prepping, and not just going into an interview you can't do, and finding the medium that's right for you, as you say.
And it's articulating. I know Jay Abraham built a business on people who couldn't articulate their business. How many people have got a great business? And you say, what do you do? But actually, oh, God, why didn't I say that? Or
well, we do like a soundbite exercise where it's like, can you say what your company does in 25 seconds, like an elevator pitch? And you do say to people, how does your company make its money? And it'd be a good test for people listening who run businesses to go out and say to their staff today, how do we make our money? They won't necessarily get it wrong, but you could get 7 or 8 different answers.
That's a great question.
I don't know. How do we make our money? What do? We make widgets, or we make cups. How do we do? I don't know. I come to work every day, but I don't know. And can you clearly say it? Because if you don't know clearly, you know, because journalists are very good at translating or paraphrasing what you do.
Should it come bottom up or top down?
Well, I think it should come. It's a good question, actually. I mean, I think it's got to be all the way through. I mean, I think everyone's got to know what their company does, what your role within it is, and what the company's messages are at that particular time. And it all comes down to who your audience is.
It's interesting, isn't it? And all of those things, in terms of presentation, being there, being able to articulate what you do, all kind of reinforce what Kendra was saying earlier about we're moving towards people buying experience. So what you're doing, Steve, becomes even more crucially important for businesses, because if their customers are going to be buying experience, they're going to need to be able to present what they do, how they do it, how they make their money in an engaging and inclusive way. I used to work as a motivational speaker on the international circuit, and I just lost the will to live. I used to sit through so many presentations, especially technical presentations, where people knew their subject inside out, but were so boring and would read their PowerPoint slides to you, and you just go, I just want to die.
Why do people do that? Why do people read their PowerPoints? Like, they put it up on the wall. Yeah. And it's like, well, obviously you guys can't read. I'll tell you why it is. It's because they're not comfortable with the silence. And the pause, the power of the pause in conversation is incredible.
It's powerful.
I used to do that as a deliberate thing. I would walk on stage, say a couple of words, and then go quiet. And I'd wait until people started shifting in their seat.
7 seconds they
happen. I'd wait until people started getting nervous and think, oh my God, he's corpsed. Yeah. And then I'd go, I don't mind pauses. And people breathe a sigh of relief that you were going to speak. Because the funny thing is, the longer you leave it, eventually somebody has to fill the gap. Somebody in the audience will start saying something, and they'll start with a little titter or a laugh or a cough. And then if you stay silent long enough, eventually someone will go, should we talk about something?
It is so powerful, because again, go back to the theatre, and you heard about the dramatic pause. The way actors look at it is they imagine throwing a ball in the air. So depending on how important the pause should be, they can sort of picture themselves catching it. So you know, I am the murderer. And then they carry on. It might not be that important. In business presentations, it does two things. One, if
he caught me.
If someone's on their phone or looking out the window, stop talking while you're presenting. Suddenly people go, oh, what's happened? He stopped talking. And you get people's attention, funnily enough, by stopping talking. And the other point is, you're making a really important point as a business presentation. You said, we've had our best ever year. We've doubled our sales in the last 6 months. Stopping talking and just let it hang there. was what people do because they're nervous. They go, we've had our best ever year than ever. Anyway, by the way, we've just launched this new product and it's just lost.
Yeah.
So for emphasis, little tricks like that can really add to people's confidence as presenters and really get the audience with you, because this is all about taking the audience on your little journey.
Yeah. Well, don't you want people to hear? Absolutely. You want people to hear so they can't come at the speed that you're delivering it, so they do need to let you need to let them catch up with you.
But it's all lack of confidence, isn't it? Is what it boils down to. The reason that people read their slides is in case they forget what they were going to say. They use it for a prompt for themselves. And the reason people keep going is once they're on a roll, they go, I'm going to get to the end of this before I forget it.
It's like forgetting your lines, though. It's like you get on there with your notes, you say to your audience, right, I've got 10 really good things I must say. But if you try it, just trust your memory, and you only say six, as an audience, we only hear six good things. Yeah. And you can say the other four during your Q&A.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want an actor on stage. You don't know if they miss out a line unless they go, oh, sorry, I was supposed to say that. You don't, do you? As an audience, you just go, that was really good.
Yeah, exactly.
you don't know.
Yeah. Steve, fascinating topic. Absolutely fascinating. We could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're running out of time. If people want to find out more about you, I mean, you've got loads of different ways to find out about you, but what's the best way to find out about what you do?
The best way, probably on the website, the Hendricks website, which is hendrickstraining.com, or via Twitter, at Steve Hemsley.
Right.
Either of those are probably the best way to get hold of me.
Fantastic. Steve, thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure to talk to you.
A fascinating topic. We could talk about it for hours and hours and hours, but we're almost at the end of the show.
And I like that Steve listened to us last week and he's brought in last week's show to this week.
Yeah, yeah.
That is genius.
Yeah, that's cool, isn't it? Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Better listen to this rubbish just in case they ask me a question.
But it's really interesting, and I'll tell you why, because I've got a show on tomorrow, so I've got...
Oh, here we go. The weekly plug for the conversation.
I've got the conversation on with where I always have a guest on, and I'm really intrigued. I'm curious about why you do what you do, so I want to know, Steve. I'm like, oh my God, I want to know a bit more about you, Steve. So I say to them, and when that guest turns around and says, I've never listened to your show before, I just all of a sudden go, really? Really?
No.
You've got a whole show about you and you've got no understanding of what this is today, and it makes a difference.
Yeah, it does. I should follow my own advice, because when I train people for the media or TV, radio particularly, I say, look, you must listen to what you're going to be on. You know, are you standing, sitting? Is it a soft,
so important
chatty show? Is it like John Humphreys on Radio 4?
Yeah.
Or even the newspaper? What?
Yeah, yeah.
You're right. Why wouldn't people do that?
But I had a journalist. I've got a journalist coming on in a couple of weeks, and she said, could you send me a couple of for your podcasts? Because I put it into podcasts, and I said, yeah, of course. I like that. She's bang on. Right. Da, da, da. And that's good, because so even if there's stuff you don't like or you don't want me to ask, then she would have gone, look, I'm not comfortable with that. Awesome. So we're going to come with such value and content. So that's what I loved about that. So
that research it covers all kinds of activities as well. I had a classic one this morning. Jobs in Kent with my main company. I get a phone call from a salesman. He's gone, hello, Paul. My name's Mark, and I'm ringing you to offer you something really brilliant. He's not pausing for breath. Okay. He's gone, if I said to you, I can get you recruitment advertising so that you could really find staff for you at under 500 quid, how amazing would that be? It wouldn't be amazing at all, Mark. And he went, no, for 500 quid I'm talking. I went, that's 500 quid more than I'd pay. And he went, you're seriously telling me you wouldn't pay to recruit staff? I went, yeah, I am, Mark. He said, do you not recruit staff? I said, yeah, loads. And he's gone, well, why wouldn't you pay? And I went, because if you knew anything about the company you just called, you know I own five of the largest recruitment portals. And
schoolboy errors.
Yeah, unbelievable.
He was practising.
Was he?
Misty shot.
Yeah, bless him. I've got some more stuff that's happening at Dragon Co-working. There's Waffle 5.
He's doing it deliberately, isn't he?
Waffle 5, sponsored by CreateBot. It's happening on the 18th of October. That'll be this Thursday, won't it? At 4 p.m. Come along to the best networking event for non-networkers. Waffle is simple. Help your staff to freshly made waffles, real waffles, made at the waffle bar. Eat waffle with others. Continue waffling with all the small business owners in the room.
You won't be there.
I won't be there, no. But there will be
a lot of waffles going on.
And there's also Dragon Bite, and that's on the 1st of November at 5 p.m. Join us for street food and an inspirational talk by Matthew Russell, who is the co-founder of the Copper Rivet Distillery. They're a gin distillery in Medway. If you ever get a chance to visit them, by the way, they're down on the Medway behind that shopping complex thing, and they're in an old water pumping station. The actual building that Zisira is in is absolutely unbelievable. It's a fantastic place. So here, Matthew Russell from the Copper River Distillery, and they were formed in 2012 and have become a major tourist attraction in Kent. I should have read this before I said that, shouldn't I, really? I'm one of England's best small-batch distillers. It's a fascinating story about how the distillery came to be. And to go to Dragon's Bite is 20 quid, which includes all the food and a VIP entrance to the Dragon's Den. You can find out about all these events by going to dragoncoworking.co.uk.
Mark, this one's for you now. So this is the Ashford Business Awards. I'm serious. Are now open for entries. With 8 awards, we are inviting entries from businesses in Ashford and, for the first time ever, Hyde, New Romney, Folkestone, Deal, Dover. They're quick, simple and free to enter. You need to go to www.businesswardskent.co.uk/Ashford Business Awards.
Fantastic. We have a Marsh Networking Over Breakfast happening on the 25th of October at the Ship in Dymchurch. It's a full English breakfast. That's the Ship, 118 High Street, Dymchurch. And you can book by emailing Terry at botfieldnet.net. It's Terry at Botfield, BOTFIELD.net.
Or his Twitter account?
TD Botty.
Thank you. Okay. Join Kent Space at their modern serviced office and storage space. That's here in Ashford for an evening of networking in the company of Joe James, Chief Exec of Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce. Joe will be talking about the exciting economic developments happening in Ashford and Kent, as well as taking questions on the night. Drinks, nibbles, oh, they're all doing it. Free networking event on the 31st of October.
Fantastic. As our regular listeners will know, we have a partnership with the University of Kent Business School, and they are producing a number of free events called Business Soundbites. And the next one is on the 23rd of October, and it's in association with the Turner Contemporary Gallery in Margate, and it will be taking place there at 5 p.m. And it's entitled The Creativity... The Curiosity Costs, and it's all about creativity. That's on the 23rd of October. If you want to book your place, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS, you will find that and all their forthcoming events listed there.
I went to the last one with Dr. Patricia Lewis, and that was Is Feminine Leadership for Women Only? Loved it. It was really interesting place to be. There were lots of different parts of business that came in, things that I didn't think would be there. So things like HR came, and all those things you think, well, why are they here? Of course they're here. So don't think, oh, it's just academics. It is very academic, talking about white papers, but it's brilliant because you surround yourself with lots of different people that not necessarily you would meet at a normal business networking event.
Well, one of the interesting things that the Kent Business School are doing is they're trying to reach out more to small businesses, because people are now starting to realise that most of the activity that's happening is around SMEs.
Mm.
You know, we're back to localism and small is beautiful and all those kind of things. We've generated, we being the SME community, we've generated 3 million new jobs in the United Kingdom since 2010. They're all in small businesses. The number of small businesses has risen. There's 5.8 million businesses in the UK. 5.7 million of them are small businesses.
But here's the thing. When you go to things like this, you're surrounded by academia as well, and you're surrounded by things that would challenge and disrupt the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I like, is that you go, oh, I didn't realise that statistic. Or you've got a psychologist there, you've got a sociologist there, who are talking about the same subject but completely disagree. And it's just a really empowering environment to be in. So get yourself along, because it's a really great, great opportunity to network with different people.
Cool. I'm just reading this because I need to tell you about this. I need to tell you about our sister show, the Business Monkey Extra Show, this Friday, presented by Amanda Flanders. And she's saying, with so much being said about how social media is affecting people's mental health and lots more on cyber attacks, they've got a social media and cyber security special this Friday.
Really? Cool.
Yeah. So Amanda's presenting that show, and on that show is Richard Bell, who's a cyber security specialist, and Molly Wright, who's a social media specialist. So they're going to be talking about the impacts of cybercrime and social media and its effect on people's well-being. So do tune in to the Business Bunker Extra Show. That's this Friday at 11 o'clock here on channelradio.co.uk/2. We've kind of reached the end of the show, and I've got a little bit of an announcement to make, really. Next week's show is show number 400.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Now, I've actually done more than 400 shows. I've actually done 500. But it's show number 400 because that's from the start. I did the show before we had Channel Radio, so it was on another station. And then we started from one again when we launched Channel Radio. So it's show number 400 next week, and I'm not going to be here.
Where are you?
Well, hold on. After 9 years and 11 months, this is the first show that I've missed.
That's amazing.
I know.
Amazing.
And I'm not going to be here. And it's a landmark show. It's the 400th show.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be here for it.
No.
Because I'm going to be away. So next week's Business Bunker show is actually presented by the absolutely fantastic Laura Lawrence.
Nice.
And she's going to be ably helped by co-host Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Lovely.
So tune into the Business Bunker show next week. I won't be here. I will be in the United States. I will be listening, and I will be tweeting, going, "You can't do that, and don't press that button, and don't read that, and don't do it like that."
Yeah, but
and
Laura's a pro. Anyway,
She's an absolute pro. She will absolutely nail it. I'm totally comfortable that I've left the show in really good hands.
Good.
So that's next week's show. Without me on the Business Bunker show, but do tune in to the Business Bunker Extra show this Friday. It just leaves me to say a huge thank you to today's guests, Kendra McDonald of Automation Ninjas, Mark Telford of Telford Accountants, Steve Hemsley of Hendrix Training, and my absolutely wonderful co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike.
Pleasure.
Thank you all so much for listening and participating and tweeting and emailing and joining in the conversation. We will be back with you next week, except I won't. Have a fantastic week. And speak to you all soon. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.